Last number of Bhakti 2009, class number 11, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, continuing with the discussion of sadhana bhakti. Yesterday we heard about the nine limbs of devotion and different devotees who attain perfection in executing those limbs of devotion. Who attain perfection by remembering Krishna? Vishnu Smarana. That's a quiz. Who attain perfection by offering service with a humble service attitude? Hanuman. Who attain perfection by hearing the glories of Krishna? Hearing. Prakshit. Who attain perfection by chanting the glories of Krishna? Sukadev. Right. Who attains perfection by offering wonderful prayers to the Lord? Krura. And who attain perfection by, of course he's already perfect, but that's, she cited as example, a perfection by, or let's say, concentrating on the limb of Padasevana, massaging the feet of the Lord.
Lakshmi.
Of course, she didn't attain perfection. She's the perfectional energy of the Lord eternally. But she's showing that simply by doing this, by sitting around all day massaging the Guru's feet or Krishna's feet, or doing Padasevana, massaging the feet is called Padasevana. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevana. And Padasevanam includes Dham Seva, Vaishnav Seva, Tulsi Seva, Jaru, sweeping the footpaths of Radhakund or Sevakunj. Example of Duki Krishnadas. He did that. he's doing so many other things. Obviously he's chanting the holy name, studying Bhagavatam. But early in the morning he was sweeping the footpaths, Prem Gully and Man Gully. Gully means small road, footpath, it's called gully, and gullies and footpaths around Sevakunj. And one day he found an ankle bell. You probably know the story. That ankle bell led him to attain darshan of Srimati Radhika. After mentioning this, Rupa Goswami explains a devotee who attained perfection by doing all these activities. And the example of that is, of course, Ambarish Maharaj, 9th canto of Bhagavatam. Savai mana krishna padaravindayor vachamsi vaikunta gunanu vanune karo hare mandira marjana dishu shutim jaka achyuta satkato dhaye mukundalinga alaya darshane jisho tad britya gatro sparshenga sangamam Granam chatat parasaroja saurabhe shimat tulasya rasanam tadarpate padohare shetra padanu sarpane shiro rishikesha padavi vandane kamam chadasye nat tukama kamyaya yaduttama shloka janashraya rati. And this verse it explains Maharaj Ambarish was always engaged his mind meditating on the lotus feet of the Krishna. This is the first and foremost. This is the sixth sense, and this is the chief and king of all the senses. Savaya mana krishna padaravindayor. Everything begins with the mind. Whatever the mind does, the body follows. Whatever decision the mind takes, the senses try to execute. The mind is the dictator of our life. Sometimes a benevolent dictator and sometimes a ruthless tyrant. Isn't it? A benevolent dictator is someone, he's a dictator, he dictates, but at the same time he dictates lovingly and compassionately. Cares about himself primarily, but then he takes care of others also. But a tyrannical dictator, he'll only care about himself at the total expense of everyone else. Tyranny. First his mind was there, and then whatever your mind is fixed on, that's what you'll talk about. If you're always thinking about sports, then whenever you meet someone, oh, did you see that cricket match the other day? Did you see how that Ganguly caught that catch in the last minute of the match or whatever, whatever they say, like this, that. And everybody said, yes, it was wonderful. And you said, yes, it was stupendous. And so Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunana Varnana. Varnana, he was making Varnana. He was making sounds and vibrations to glorify the various aspects and qualities of the Lord of Vaikuntha. He was always engaging in Krishna Katha. Meditating on the feet of the Lord, his words in describing the glories of the Lord, his hands in cleansing the temple, his ears in hearing the words about Krishna, engaged his eyes in seeing the deity, and he engaged his eyes in seeing places like Mathura and Vrindavan. That's very interesting. It says he engaged his eyes in seeing the deity in the temple. Kundalingalaya darshane disho. He engaged his sense of touch in touching the bodies of the Lord's devotees.
No.
He engaged his sense of smell in smelling the fragrance of tulsi offered to the Lord, and he engaged his tongue in tasting the Lord's prasadam. That's our primary engagement. And he engaged his legs in walking to holy places and temples of the Lord, his head in bowing down before the Lord, and all his desires in serving the Lord 24 hours a day. Indeed, Ambarish never desired anything for his own sense gratification. He engaged all his senses in devotional service and various engagements related to the Lord. This is the way to increase attachment with the Lord and be completely free from material desires. Kamam jadasi makam akamayam. He engaged his legs in walking to the temple or to holy places. That what Rupa Goswami is saying, our legs, devotee's legs in terms of sadhana, as Ambarish used his legs to walk to the temple or walk on parikrama. So we may have to walk here and there, but we should always be thinking, our mind should never leave Vrindavan. Our mind should never leave Mayapur Dham or Puri Dham or the lotus feet of Sri Guru or Krishna. So there, wherever we are, every step is parikrama. In fact, every step becomes a dance in the ultimate sense. In the spiritual world, every step is a dance, because every step is a glorification of the Lord. They're on their way either to see Krishna in this place or that place. The devotee's always thinking, I'm on my way to see Krishna, or I'm thinking of Krishna. You can remember Guru, especially if you're walking on Juhu Beach in Bombay. It's pretty easy to remember Srila Prabhupada. And then you may say, turn to someone and say, remember Dr. Patel? And Prabhupada would walk on this beach in 1974, and every morning you would meet Dr. Patel, and Prabhupada would call him nonsense, and Prabhupada would call him rascal, and Prabhupada would call him foolish, and Prabhupada would call him stupid. We're listening during Prasanna today, Prakash and I. And in a half hour, Prabhupada said he was a rascal, he was nonsense, he was foolish, he was a murka, and then at the end he said, you're childish. because he kept pressing this Mayavad philosophy and so many ways Prabhupada defeated. And so anyone who thinks like that, anyone who thinks like this or presents this argument, he's simply childish. Which means, you're childish. And he was a doctor of some fame and name and this and that. So our legs should be like this. So Ambarish, he's... Jiva Goswami gives a commentary because the verse cited from ninth canto glorifying Ambarish, his devotional absorption, says that he engaged his sense of smell in smelling the fragrance of tulsi offered to the Lord. Tulsi has its own unique fragrance. It's rather subtle. It's not very grabbing to the olfactory sense of the smell, but nevertheless, Jiva Goswami says, something special happens. Because the qualifying point here is that the tulsi is offered to the feet of the Lord. After tulsi leaves are offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, to Krishna, they take on the special fragrance of Krishna's feet. This is what Ambarish was relishing. Not tulsi, the holy basil plant, or the tulsi plant, the fragrance. We have rosemary, thyme, and these Western spices people use on their pizzas and stuff. And then you have tulsi, which is the basil family. It has its smell. But after tulsi is offered to the feet of the Lord, tulsi takes on a very extraordinary and enchanting fragrance. And this is what Ambarish Maharaj was engaging his sense of smell in. And Jiva Goswami wants us to understand that. Ambarish and Jiva says, he engaged his feet in walking to holy places, Kshetra, like Mathura and Lord's temples. And he engaged all his senses in these activities in such a way that the devotees of the Lord will be pleased. Yautama shloka janashraya rati. Jiva Goswami, because on face value, the Sanskrit words are saying that he engaged all his senses in devotional service. Yatottama shloka janashraya rati. Janashraya rati. Ka uttama shloka janashraya rati. And Jiva Goswami, he said, he sees something special. It's alright, the verse in one level in Sanskrit, it says, yes, Ambarish Maharaj, he engaged, says, kamam chadasye nu natu kam kamyaya yatottama shloka janashraya rati. He did that. He engaged all his senses in the service of the Lord. And Jiva Goswami says that he sees something there, because the Lord is not an independent entity. The Lord is not floating in the sky all by himself. The Lord is a social person. He's not a mon brati or vairagi or virakti. He goes to the Himalayas and lives in the cave somewhere. The Lord is, he's always playing, and play is more fun with many than one. Try dancing by yourself and see how much fun you get. You go tell me who wants to make a connection here. The Lord is never by himself. He's always surrounded by his devotees, as I mentioned. Jiva Goswami is seeing that you don't serve the Lord in a vacuum. The Lord does not exist in a vacuum. He exists in a very dynamic dham. It's called dham. He's surrounded by not only his immediate human devotees and human associates, but so many animals, birds, trees, etc., etc. They're all his devotees. And they're all intimately connected to him in a relationship of love and service. Therefore, Jiva Goswami brings out a fine point. He says to always be engaging all our senses and activities to please the Lord in such a way that the devotees of the Lord will be pleased. Very interesting thing. So not only, so our aim, our focus is not just serve the Lord in the vacuum. I don't care about anybody else. I step in all the other devotees, but I serve the Lord. But it's a continuum. They're all together. You can't serve one without serving the other. Now, so you can't isolate the Lord from his devotees. So pleasing and serving the Lord, Kutama Shloka, includes, and it's inseparable, you have to serve the Lord with his devotees. That's why we always say, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, or Prem Se Gaur Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Vedigarada or Shivasvi. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. It's not Lord Chaitanya alone or Nityananda alone. It's Pancha Tattva and Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Bhakta Gan means the Gan, the group, the collection of devotees. So they're one unit, it's an integrated unit, the Lord and his parts and parcels. Krishna says that the jivas are his parts and parcels. If you can't serve me and cut off my fingers, my fingers are part of my body. You can't step on my feet, you can't stomp on my feet to put a sandesh in my mouth. Interesting in that motion. Well, here I take some sandesh. Stomp on my feet with motorcycle boots, and then say, here, take some sandesh. So the feet of the Lord, the parts and parcels of the Lord, the devas are parts and parcels of the Lord, and what to speak of the devotees, the sura, the devotees, they're so intimately parts and parcels of the Lord. So approaching the Lord to serve him, and to be ever connected to the Lord in service, as Ambarish was, means to also serve the devotees side by side. You love me, love my dog. They have this expression in English. Of course, people love dogs more than they love me. Or people love their dog more than they love their wife or husband. But the expression is there. In other words, it's the master and his servants should be loved equally, or at least at the same time. And Jiva Goswami wants us to be reminded of that, and this is the inspiration from his Shiksha Guru Rupa Goswami, who has personally asked him. He didn't ask any other Goswami. He compiled the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu primarily while he was in Sevakunj, under the shelter of Radha Damodarji. And then he asked Jiva, who was serving him and preparing all the manuscripts and whatnot. He said, Jiva, I want you to give the tika or the commentary on my book. So he did. Vishwanath, he basically repeats the same point, but he wants to bring out some more ideas. Ambarish engaged his senses in seeing the forms of Mukunda, the temples of Mukunda, and the eternal dhams of Mukunda, such as Mathura and the Vaishnavas. Very interesting. Dham means house, abode, domicile, place, residence. So Hari Dham. And Ramasam means we have Devi Dham, Hari Dham. Dham means the abode of Hari, or Devi Dham means the abode of Durga, the material world. It's called Devi Dham because Durga or Devi is presiding here, predominating here. Shakta, Ma Durga, she's controlling everything. All the movements are controlled in this world by Maya Devi. That's a Dham, but we see, he's saying that there's Vrindavan Dham, Mayapur Dham, Jagannathpuri Dham, Dwarka Dham, Rameshwar Dham, Dwarka Dham, but then there's Vaishnav Dham. The Vaishnav is also a Dham, because what is a Dham? A Dham is some place where the Lord is established, the Lord is residing there in the Dham, either directly in his Prakat form, in Bola Vrindavan or Prakat Leela, he's directly there. Or he's there in terms of his murtis or lila stalis, usually some temple there in Keshava Dev and Hari Dev and Govinda Dev, etc. And he's being worshipped there, so he's living in the Dham in his murti form, Archamurti representation. But he's living in the heart of the Vaishnava. Vaishnava, his heart is Govinda Vishram. He's residing in the heart of the devotee. So Vishnu wants us to expand our vision and to expand our eyes. He says that our eyes, we should see temples and we should see the eternal dhams. These are eternal dhams, eternal, nitya dham. Vrindavan is nitya, eternal. It's never destroyed. And the whole material universe is destroyed. The material universe is like a lake with mud and water. All the planets are in the mud and water of this material universe. And all the universes. So Vrindavan is like that lotus flower which is neither wet nor connected. It's just existing in the bright sun. The holy Dham is like a lotus flower above the material world. Everything is created and annihilated, but the holy Dham is not annihilated because it is nitya, it's eternal. Holy Dham is always situated as the lotus is always connected to the rays of the sun. The holy Dham is always connected to the internal energy of the Lord. The Suru Shakti, the internal energy of the Lord, the Yogamaya Shakti, like the sun rays opening and blossoming a lotus. The Holy Dhamma is always blossoming and always open and always existing, nitya. Now, that is the same thing as the Vaishnava, the Shuddha Bhakta. His heart is always blossoming with the presence of Krishna. Radha and Krishna are always in his heart, and his heart is always open. And his heart is eternally existing because his bhakti is eternal and his heart is full of pure bhakti, which is nitya. Therefore, the devotee is nitya dham. He reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die. They never die. And while living, they try to spread the holy name around because they forever live in sound. Sound, nam rup gun lila. So the name of Krishna, nam rup gun lila, dham, parishishta, they're all nitya, they're all eternal. So the devotee exists in the vibration of the Lord. He is a vibration, he's a vibratory personality. He's always vibrating the Lord's glories, and the Lord's glories are always vibrating in his heart. Therefore, to see a devotee means to see nitya dham, the dham of the Lord. Something special, something extraordinary. And that, of course, that anecdote is there of Srila Prabhupada in Bombay. It was told by some of the Bombay devotees that were there at the time. They came to Vrindavan, they recited this past, let's say, anecdote of Srila Prabhupada. When there was one Indian visitor in Prabhupada's room in Bombay, and he said, Swamiji, I've been sitting here for 45 minutes, and I've been hearing you, you're sitting with your disciples, and you're saying, please transfer 1 lakh of rupees from my Hyderabad account to my Bhuvaneshwar account for applying so Gorgovinda Swami can buy cement and steel for construction of the temple. And please, you know, call Daini Pan and tell him to print another 10,000 copies of Canto 2 of the Bhagavatam. And call Ram and write a letter to Rameshwara in Los Angeles, tell him that I approve of the painting on the cover of the third canto. and all these managerial things, and what's this, why don't you meet, call Mr. Sadajiva Lal, tell him to come over here, we have to talk about this protest in the neighborhood about our kirtan party as being a nuisance. What is this? We should report this to the papers. And Prabhupada was doing so much managing with his devotees in the room. And this man was saying, Swamiji, I have a question. I have studied Gita and Sanskrit and Gita. Bhagavan Sri Krishna is saying, Satatam Kirtiyanto Mam Yatantas Chadrita Vrataham. Satatam Kirtiyanto Mam Mahatmanastimam Parta, that the great souls are always engaging in kirtan. Satatam, Sat Kirtan, always chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Bhajan, Govinda Hari, Gopala Hari. But I've been here for 45 minutes and I haven't heard you say once any kirtan. There's all this money here and lakh there and 2 lakhs here and cement steel, books, this, that, things. So it doesn't seem that you're much of a Mahatma. Of course, all the Pandavas were drawing their swords. All the Pandavas were drawing their swords on the Shishupal-like representative in the assembly of Prabhupada and his Priya Bhaktas, Antaranga Shishya. But they were quiet. And Prabhupada said, really? You think like that? Said, you come. Come here. To put your ear on my back. So this guy, remember, he came up and he put his head on Prabhupada's back and he said, huh? What is it? No! And he said, he's chanting! I'm hearing inside, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So inside Prabhupada, and he was hearing, Prabhupada was just there like this, and inside he's hearing the mantras going on like continuously in Prabhupada's heart, reverberating in his heart. Because Krishna, Prabhupada is always worshipping Radha Govinda in his heart, and the best way to worship Radha Govinda is to chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the man said, oh, Swamiji, and he fell at Prabhupada's feet off the Dandavat and said, please forgive me. I didn't realize that you're such a great Mahatma, you're always chanting at the same time you're running this worldwide mission. You're the super Maha Maha Mahatma. Of course, that's a fact. So therefore, the devotee of the Lord, he is a Nityadam. Because the Nityanam is always vibrating in his heart, and he's always worshipping the Lord. Jiva Goswami is, I mean, rather Vishnath is bringing a very interesting point here. That Amrish Maharaj, he'd rather see the faces of pure devotees than go to the movies in Bombay. This is the best way to use the eyes. Engaged his nose in smelling the Lord's lotus feet with tulsi leaves on them, and smelling the tulsi that had been offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. So he's smelling the Lord's lotus feet. So he's going up to the deity and smelling, like our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our Mahaprabhu. He would take his Gauranga Shila, yeah, for a couple of years, and then sometimes he was holding the smelling the Shila, he was holding the Shila to his eyes, holding on his forehead, holding on his heart, and sometimes he was crying, and he's bathing the Gauranga Shila with his tears. So this is he was actually smelling the Lord. So Ambrish was, he had some murti in his palace. He was also smelling the feet of the Lord directly, then later some tulsi coming from the feet, smelling. This means that Amrish had direct contact with the Lord's feet covered with tulsi. So he's saying the same thing Amrish was. He had direct contact with the Lord's feet covered with tulsi. He engaged his tongue, rasanam, and tasting food offered to the Lord. And he engaged his feet in repeatedly going to the temple, to the Lord's holy places, like Mathura and the Lord's temples, and his head in bowing down to the feet of the Lord and to the feet of the devotees. He did all this in such a way that Rati, devoid of material attachment, in other words, not material Rati, he did all this and all these activities that Amrish did, he did them in such a way that the Rati, which is found, Rati means the Asakti or the Bhav, can mean attachment, it can also mean Bhav, which is found in the devotees of the Lord, Uttama Shloka Jana, Ashraya Rati, such as Prahlad would appear, he did not perform the actions with the desire for material objects. This is a nice description of Rishi Maharaj. He was doing all these activities, but within his mind he was thinking that these activities, all the great devotees of the Lord, they have done these activities. Lakshmi Devi does Padasevam, which includes Mandir, Purkama, Tirtha Yatra, or going to visit the holy places, and remembering the Lord. Prahlad did that. These great devotees, that they all had bhava and praying for the Lord. And I'm remembering them at the same time I'm engaging all these activities. And I'm praying, I'm engaging in limbs of devotion with all my mind and senses and body. At the same time I'm praying that the attachment or the rati that's in the heart of the great pure devotees will also come in my heart. And this is interesting. He is really active on many levels. This is the symptoms or characteristics of the dynamic devotee. He's really turned on, as they say, drop out, tune in, and turn on. So he's dropped his mind and senses out of material engagement and tuned in to the instructions of Krishna and Guru and turned on his energy and turned on his enthusiasm and his surrender to the best of his ability, absorb his mind, senses, and body in activities which are pleasing both to the Lord and to the devotees of the Lord. So he's trying to act to please and satisfy the Lord and please and satisfy the devotees. At the same time, he's putting his mind somewhere. He's putting some wings. He's attaching two wings on his mind and he's sending his mind to the lotus feet of the great devotees. I'm doing all these activities. I'm trying to follow your example. So sadhu vartmana vartana. Sadhu vartmana vartate. It's also an act of devotion. I'm trying to follow in the footsteps of the vartma, the path of the great devotees. But I need your mercy. I need your mercy to attain perfection in these activities. So please somehow think of me or look my way so that I will, with your mercy, because it's not enough just to please the Lord by devotional expressions. One must also please the Lord's devotees. Because the Lord's mercy is tied up there in the hearts of the devotees. So he's trying to tap the sentiments of the Lord. He's trying to touch the sentiments of the Lord by serving the Lord directly. At the same time, he's trying to connect with the blessings and merciful aspects of the devotees of the Lord by praying to them and remembering them. This is the dynamics of the practices of Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj ki jai. This is the last verse. This is Division 1, Chapter 2, Verse 269. Shastrut kaya subalaya tattan maryad duyanvita. Bari bhaktir yam kaishchan maryada marga uchyate. Some persons call Vaidhi Bhakti the path of rules. Maryad marg, since it is bound by strong limitation of the rules mentioned in the scriptures, Vishnu. If the scriptural rules are very prominent in one's practice of devotion, that immediately becomes a cause for performing bhakti. Well, that's the primary cause. He wants to follow the rules. This Vaidhi Bhakti filled with rules, which means maryad, is therefore called maryada marg by some people. So tomorrow, that concludes the discussion of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and the Sadhana Bhakti chapter. Now in a few verses, Prabhu Goswami will begin the discussion of Raghunuga Bhakti. For the next 20 days we'll be discussing on the basis of Bhakti Rasa Nitya Sindhu, Raghunuga Bhakti.